9 to noon radio show from Twin Cities Orthopedics Performance Center. Nordo on-site producer. Yours truly is Paul Allen. And we are joined by Minnesota Vikings general manager Rick Spielman from the Vikings facility in Eagan, Minnesota. How was it? Did it end up okay? Sunday night dinner.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah,
when I made stuffed peppers and potatoes.
Very nice. When I saw you Sunday at the Minnesota Football Honors Program, which is absolutely fantastic, by the way, you get excited for things, but the opportunity to have a homemade meal, relax, kick your feet up in what actually is your favorite chair, not your favorite chair at the Eagan facility, and then like go to bed early. I mean, you were kind of giddy about that.
No, my mom came over and made a 5-course meal like she does on every Sunday. We're Midwestern people, so it's always got a meat and potato in it.
Mm-hmm.
And fell asleep about 6:30 and woke up the next day.
So draft season, it definitely takes a lot out of you mentally and from a time standpoint. How did you reintroduce yourself to your wife? Wait, let me rephrase that. Excuse me. How great?
Jeez.
I'm sorry. How great was it being back home and relaxing? Because that run up to the draft, that it gets exhausting, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, it's mental and physical. I mean, because you're up, you know, you're going 14, 16, 18 hours a day straight through for about 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's nice to finally get an opportunity to relax a little bit. I'm looking forward not to this weekend. Well, I am looking forward to this weekend. But
yeah,
next week,
rookie camp.
Yeah, it will be the first weekend we've had off since probably last July.
Good for you. Taking a vacation?
No, we're just going to sit and relax, and I got a list of honeydew things I know that I have
to address. A staycation. Up to the draft, you know, I know it probably is segmented, like a month in front of the draft you're doing something, then 3 weeks, 2 weeks, then the week of the draft. Overall, what takes up most of your time when you're preparing for the draft?
I think the biggest thing is coming out of the meetings and then going back and evaluating the film again. And you go back and forth and back and forth, and then you go through all the scenarios that can possibly happen to you, and you rehearse those over and over again, and it's just constant. And then when we have a discrepancy or, hey, this guy over this guy, then we sit together as a group. We get the coaches. They do it as a group. We do it as a group. We come together and come up with a solution.
Do coaches and or personnel people, do they develop favorite players? Like, I put these Kentucky Derby past performances in front of you for Saturday. And what we will do is we will find a horse we like in the race, and it kind of becomes our, quote, pet horse, end quote, depending on what the odds are. Go ahead and insert one-liner about how I never win and my horses should be named Eeyore. But do those in your department or with whom you deal, do they develop favorite players and, like, you know, bang their fist down on desk saying, I have to have this guy, Rick?
No, I think it's because the way we approach it as a group.
Yeah.
And guys come in and they like this guy and they like that guy. And the scout's been out all fall, basically all year, and they mm-hmm. come in with their favorite guys. But when you come together as a group, for example, the West Coast, they have maybe a favorite tight end, let's say, or a favorite offensive lineman out in that area. But their guy is behind maybe someone on the East Coast.
Yeah.
So what we'll do is we'll watch the East Coast guy and the West Coast guy with everybody in there so they can see and make that comparison, because that's the only way they're going to be able to make that comparison. So by the time we are done, by the time we are done all of our group studies, by the time we are done all of our film evaluations together
mm-hmm.
as a group, everybody comes up with a pretty strong consensus.
Want to make a trade?
What are we trading?
I will. I've worked in horse racing for a quarter century. So when I look at those past performances,
you would never guess it with your record.
It's like you analyzing the punt returns
of
Mike Hughes.
How's Skull Sister doing, by the way?
Well, we're she has a foot problem, so we're considering changing her name to Skull Blister. But yeah, there's a lot of red tape through which we have to go if we do that. I'd like to make a trade. I will tell you who the favorite is in the Run for the Roses this Saturday if you finish this segment with me and spend another segment talking about these new players. Does that sound good?
That's fair.
All right. Now, quickly, because I want to get into these players next segment. Regarding college free agency and the emphasis you put on it last year and this year, 9 to noon with my radio show, we've been talking about some of these college free agents, specifically, clearly somebody you and others around the league identified, this Texas corner, Holton Hill, and he ended up here. And in discussing Holton Hill and what must have gone into getting him here, it made me think back to 2013. with Adam Thielen. And you know, the story of Adam has been told, and Adam is one of the better receivers in the NFL. But correct me if I'm wrong here, in 2013, like after the draft, he wasn't one of these Holton Hills. He wasn't one of these Kyle Sloters on a practice squad. You know, we're going to get him and give him this. He had to, like, try out to get on the undrafted rookie, to be part of that, only to get cut with cuts and then land on the practice. It's an unbelievable story.
It's kind of like hopefully a Skull Sister story where she comes out of nowhere and gets her foot blister taken
Stop
care
that.
Of. But it's, and that's why we have this rookie minicamp, and that's why this weekend's so exciting, because we actually have three guys that weren't signed after the draft that are currently on our roster that went through that same process.
Yeah.
So it was Adam who's, it was Marcus Sherrills 8 years ago, and it was C.J. Ham who started a fullback for us last year.
So Marcus Sherrills was not an identified college free agent. He had to try out to just earn that right.
Correct.
Holy cow. And with Adam, you know, like back in 2013 out of Mankato, to the tryout's one thing, but then to win the tryout and become part of the bit, like what do you remember about him then that you saw then that eventually would lead to 2014 block punt against the Panthers, touchdown against the Bears, final game of the season, and now, you know, off last year, 1,000 receiving yards, first guy to do that since Sidney Rice in 2009.
I think his approach to everything – it doesn't matter once you get your foot in the door. And we tell all the players coming in, I don't care if you're a first rounder or you're a college free agent, we're equal opportunity employer. And if you come in and take care of your business, we're going to play the best 53, make the best 53 man roster. And we're going to play the best guys on Sunday. And it doesn't matter your status now.
Yeah.
Everybody's on an equal playing field, and you have to come in and earn your right to get on the field.
From Mike Hughes through Devontae Downs and some of these very intriguing college free agents, we will discuss that when 9 to noon continues with Minnesota Vikings general manager Rick Spielman. We are at the Twin Cities Orthopedics Performance Center in Eagan, and you're listening to The Fan. The voice of Zachary Halverson guiding the Great Ship Love Covenant from the Bryan Heating and Cooling Studios at FM 100.3 The Fan. Yours truly, Paul Allen, and the 9 to noon show at Twin Cities Orthopedics Performance Center for another segment with Minnesota Vikings general manager Rick Spielman, who I believe Sunday at the Minnesota Football Honors Program at U.S. Bank Stadium. I think you and the head coach were pulling a fast one on me, the first of undoubtedly many during 2018. When it came to 30, Zimmer was like, I wanted an offensive lineman, and Rick took a defensive back, where I thought it would be reverse, where he'd be like, we have to have Hughes, and then you guys would, like, how'd that whole thing come together?
No, we talked about it. We talked about all the scenarios that would potentially happen down there at the 30th pick, and the decision was, let's take the best player on our board. And at the time, you know, I knew we agreed both on that Hughes was going to be definitely our pick at 30.
Yeah. When you get them here tomorrow and then subsequently they get out on the fields Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, what are some things you guys look for at the rookie camp?
Just ability for our coaches to start working with them, how quickly they're picking things up in the classroom, how quickly they're picking up the techniques that they're being taught on the field, how quickly they're adjusting as we go through the week when they come in Thursday night, but Friday and they're out in the field.
Yeah.
How did they progress between Friday and Sunday? And we'll have personnel meetings as we go through the rookie mini camp. And not only will we do that with our draft picks, our college free agents that we sign, but also every one of those tryout guys that are coming in.
Remember Stephon Diggs at rookie camp at Winter Park? I mean, it's fifth round, and, you know, he had some physical situations in Maryland, and maybe that played into him dropping. But I'll never forget watching him at rookie camp. Everything was fast for Stephon Diggs. That's the kind of stuff you're looking for, right?
Right. Guys that are going to be popping out. And I think that's why it's so exciting to see these guys for the first time. And I know how excited our coaches are to finally get them on the field and get going.
This Pitt Panther offensive lineman you took in the second round, Brian O'Neill, tell us about him.
Former basketball player, former tight end, very long, very athletic. A couple of technique things that he has to work on. If he can work on those, which I know Tony Sperano does an outstanding job with our offensive line and getting them adjusted to it, and I think that'll help him. But you can't coach his length and his athletic ability and his foot quickness and his ability to adjust in space, not only on pulls, but in this outside zone scheme, working to the second level, getting on top of linebackers, cutting them off. Those are all a lot of the key traits that we were looking for, and he checked the boxes in all those areas.
So having an offensive lineman who can run a 4.8 40, like how does that help you overall in the big picture?
The 4.8 40 is just an indication of what type of athlete he is, but he still has to play football.
Right.
And what we saw on tape and when we went through our group studies and our breakdown on all these offensive linemen, there are physical traits there and things that he does on tape that really jumped out to us to say, hey, we got a chance to make this guy a pretty good football player.
So is he absolutely a tackle in the National Football League, or has that not been determined?
No, he'll be an offensive tackle.
Okay. So then now, I mean, because position flexibility is and always has been so important to you, you know, now with Mike Remmers, a tackle, but somebody who played guard for you last year, Rashad Hill is a tackle. Do you feel good about the offensive line position flexibility with who you have here now?
Yeah, and don't forget about Avante Collins, who played for us last year, came in and played a lot of heavy tight end package.
Yep.
And what some of the stuff that he showed on tape was pretty special, especially when he started playing towards the end of the season.
Right.
But those tackles are not just right tackles, left tackles. Those guys also have position flexibility because they can play swing tackle. They can play to the left. They can play to the right.
Yeah.
So you can do a lot of things with them as well.
The Ohio State defensive lineman, when you took him, Jalen Holmes, it seemed to be somebody with whom you're infatuated because of the athletic ability. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong here, but don't you love defensive players like him?
Yeah, he fits all the criteria that we're looking for. He's long. He's got very long arms. He ran well. We went down and personally worked him out, myself, Coach Zimmer, and Andre Patterson. Fell in love with him at the workout. Got a lot of good information down there from the Ohio State coaches. They have a lot of good football players down there, and most of those guys that come into the league end up playing well. And this kid kind of didn't have a home. He played some defensive end. They slid him inside to do some nickel rush from the inside over the guard.
Yeah.
And when he comes in here, we're sliding him right inside to the under tackle position, which is the three technique where he'll line up behind Sheldon Richardson.
Right.
And then we'll start working him there and just letting him focus on one position and see how quickly that develops.
In Jaleel Johnson's second season, like what's his role at this part of the equation?
The one thing I know that we discussed during the whole offseason was that defensive line rotation.
Yeah.
And making sure we have enough depth at that position. And Jaleel can play the three technique or the under tackle, but he's also can play the nose tackle as well. And his strength in his upper body, and that comes from his wrestling background, is very good. And when you see him make some of the plays he does, now he has to improve a little bit as a pass rusher, but how he plays a run. So to be able to have young guys with a lot of upside and a lot of potential that are going to contribute this year, that'll help our defensive line rotation.
And you said here with me last week that it's not necessarily all about 2018, you know, what you're going to do in the draft, because you need to get ahead to 2019, 2020, not only with the personnel you have here, but what the drafts look like in 2019 and so on. So, like, for Holmes, given Sheldon Richardson is on a one-year deal, Danielle Hunter potentially can be a free agent at the end of the year, you know, this not only helps now, but gives you flexibility for later, right?
And that's the whole purpose, is to make sure you're developing the young guys behind them that will have roles. I don't know if they'll be starters in front of the guys we currently have right now, but it gives them time to develop. It gives them game-playing experience, and that pays off for you as you go down the road. For example, another guy that we were very impressed with was Danny Isadore last year. He had an opportunity to play in a couple games, started one. I know he played very well in the Cleveland game over in London when he had to go in there and play. And he was one of the surprises of the camp last year. And he continued to get better through the season as we evaluated him in practices.
Yeah.
And then when he had some game experience too. So we're excited to see where he's at.
Yeah. And when people analyze or discuss the offensive line, you know, the current state of the offensive line, one name that's always left out, and, you know, I don't know much about him, but, you know, several months ago, you moved on this player named Josh Andrews, who was on the Eagles practice squad. And, you know, it was very... It piqued my interest because your new offensive coordinator was with the Eagles, and now this guy comes here from the Eagles. So, like Josh Andrews, for those who don't know much about him, what's he all about, and what do you expect from him?
Well, he was on Philadelphia's practice squad last year. He's another guy that swings between center and guard. I think we evaluated about 700 guys last year during the training camp and when we watch all these preseason games. So, as we come out of preseason, we target guys. So if there's an opportunity to go get a guy. So if we had a significant injury last year,
yeah,
he would have been a guy we tried to maybe go take off of Philadelphia's practice squad. So when he was eligible to sign after the season, he was one of the main targets that we have. And it's just like college free agency. It's like everything.
Mm-hmm.
We've got every team's practice squad guys listed, and we've evaluated all those guys, not only from what they did in college, but also from how they performed in the preseason when
right.
they got an opportunity to play. So we put those guys in a ranking in an order. If you want to go get an interior offensive lineman, okay, he was the number one guy on our board if we had to go get a guy, and we were fortunate enough to get him after the season.
So is it fair to say now, Reef starts, Elfline starts, Remmers probably starts somewhere, but you have a significant amount of competition at two or three positions on your line into the offseason.
And that's what we wanted to go in with. And we wanted to see, you know, the guys that we had on the roster here last year, along with the new guys, to create that competition. We were able to do that going into the training camp last year with a lot of unknowns or a lot of guys that haven't had playing experience
yeah.
and came out with how we lined up. And I think it'll be the same thing heading into this training camp. There'll be some tremendous battles going on, jockeying not only for starting position at certain areas, but also who's going to be our backups.
The Central Michigan tight end, Tyler Conklin, how did you end up with him, and like how will he fit in?
He was another guy that we felt from an athletic standpoint and what Coach DeFilippo came in and described to us,
mm-hmm.
That he wanted a guy that was opposite of what David Morgan is. David Morgan is a very good run blocker and has really developed into that role.
Right.
But we wanted to try to get a guy that you can potentially create mismatches, especially in the passing game versus linebackers and safeties.
Right.
You know, he was another former basketball player that has a lot of athletic ability to work with. I know you look at him of potentially moving him as an H-back, which means off the line of scrimmage, lining him up potentially in a slot,
mm-hmm.
doing some different things with him to try to create the mismatches you want to create on game day. And we'll get a chance to start to feel what these guys are through this mini camp. That's why it's so important, this rookie mini camp coming
yeah.
up, because now we'll get a sense, okay, yeah, he'll be able to do this, or he won't be able to do this.
So with what you have, and then Tavarius King and or Kendall Wright in free agency, did drafting Conklin along with what you have, did it lessen the need to draft a wide receiver?
I think, you know, this is a little bit where kind of analytics comes in place for us, especially in the later rounds
yeah.
and in free agency, mm-hmm. college free agency. When you look at the board and you look at how we had our board developed, there was – if you didn't draft a defensive end late, now these guys are all developed in the exact same area on our board. So do you take the receiver? Do you take the defensive end? Do you take the linebacker?
Yeah.
When you look below that, there was a significant drop-off at linebacker and a significant drop-off at defensive end. But there was a lot of receivers there that let's say, hey, let's not get in a battle with college free agency after the draft. Let's go ahead and draft these guys here because they're good football players. But with the amount of receivers that are probably going to go undrafted, let's get aggressive and go get those guys. And to me, it's looking like some of the financial commitment we made to those guys, we did that because we think they have a legitimate chance to make our roster. And I look at it as, okay, that's like getting another draft pick.
Right. Vikings general manager Rick Spielman on the 9 to Noon radio show for a few more minutes. You traded up for that kicker from Auburn, Daniel Carlson. From what I've read, very strong leg. But there, outside of a strong leg, there would have to be more intangibles that led you to him.
I think one is definitely the leg strength. I think, you know, I had an opportunity to see him kick live in the SEC championship game against Georgia down in Atlanta.
Right.
You know, I defer a lot of the kicking to Coach Prefer. That's what his area of expertise is. So he went out and worked a lot of these kickers out pre-draft, mm-hmm. had private workouts with him, and really came back with rave reviews after he worked him out. Then you look at where do those guys usually start going in the draft? And right there, we felt that, and who could potentially start taking these specialists? And usually in the bottom of that fifth, top of that sixth, in those areas are where those guys usually get drafted.
Yeah.
And there were four or five teams we felt that may potentially be looking at kickers in that area. And he was, you know, the number one kicker, I think, on most teams' boards. I don't want to speak for the other teams. So it was an aggressive move to try to go up to make sure that if we're going to start the run on these guys,
yep.
that let's start it and let's go get the guy that we think can come in here and, you know, potentially create competition with Kai. But if you see right after we took him, then there was some, then all the other specialists started going right in the bottom of that fifth through that top of that sixth round.
So he and Kai kick it out during the offseason?
Yeah, we'll start. He'll come in here. We'll start evaluating where that's at. And mm-hmm. the whole objective of getting these guys in here, whether it's college free agents, draft guys, if we find a guy or two that are coming in on a trial basis, is to create the most competitive 90-man roster you can heading into training camp.
Yeah.
Because when you can create competition at every position, it elevates everybody's game. And it also gives you the opportunity to have, hopefully, two guys that, okay, yeah, we love both of these guys, but let's take the best one. But also when it comes down to the 53-man cutdown as well, if you have a lot of guys that are depth that may not make your 53, but you're scared that they won't, you know, go through the waiver wire to your practice squad,
right?
Those guys become commodities where you can potentially trade some of those guys.
So now you get even deeper offensive line-wise. I mean, I know he's a six-rounder, but six-rounders, you know, obviously have made teams and done incredibly well before. Appalachian State guard Colby Gossett. So all these names, you know, we've run through from Easton to Remmers to Andrews to Isadora and so on. Colby Gossett, I would imagine, has an opportunity through the offseason, training camp and preseason. We have openings, perform incredibly well, and you have an opportunity to start.
Yeah, and he performed, really took his game up another level when we evaluated him down at the Senior Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
He's a big, tough, physical player that fit all the traits that we're looking for, but he really loves to play ball, and he's one of those guys that likes to finish blocks when you watch him on tape. And so, yeah, he's going to be thrown right in the mix as well. And that's what the whole objective was, is to create as much competition as you can going into this. And it's going to be a lot of young guys,
yeah.
and it's exciting to see which young guy is going to rise up.
California Bears linebacker Devontae Downs was the last pick in the draft. Then we get to college free agency, and you know, a little bit into college free agency, but a lot out of it last year. You shared publicly the emphasis you put on getting certain players in college free agency from a monetary standpoint where, you know, say throughout the years you had paid A, B, and C, we're going to pay D, E, and F to make sure we get who we want. It led to Sean Bauer, who made the active roster and had a sack last year. Was that the case this year, and did it help you land this Texas corner, Holton Hill?
I think the more aggressive we approach that we took last year, we got three guys out of there. We've got Avante Collins,
yep.
AC, who ended up playing for us, Deshaun Bauer, who we're very excited about, and no one's mentioning, but Eric Wilson was one of our top special teams performers last year.
Yeah.
So you're going to get players out of there.
Yeah.
And if our board and how we develop our board, if those guys are on our front board and they end up being college free agents for whatever reason,
mm-hmm.
and our coaches have went out and worked a lot of these guys out individually or in a private setting after their pro day.
Okay.
So we have really honed in on guys, if they are college free agents, these are the guys that we're going to spend the money on to go get because they have a legitimate chance to come in and make our roster. And we did that approach last year, and we were even probably more aggressive with it this year.
What makes the Texas corner talented? I mean, because there was an end-of-the-season problem where he basically got kicked off the team. And, you know, you identify him, you bring him in here. I would imagine a conversation will have to be had about what had happened and what the expectations are.
That conversation was already had when he came in and visited on the top 30.
Right.
Because when we bring in the top 30 guys, we're not only looking at guys that are first rounders.
Yeah.
We're bringing in guys that are potential free agents for us.
Yeah.
Or guys that you may take a swing on later in a draft. Now, the physical, there's no question what he physically is.
Yeah.
Big, long corner that's physical and run support, can play in press coverage, can play in man coverage.
Mm-hmm.
But he just had some off-field issues. So we wanted to make sure we felt comfortable enough with the off-field issues. And it's different when they're college free agents because the investment is not as significant. So
right.
If some of those guys that we took a swing on in college free agency – not what we expect him to be off the field, then you don't lose anything. You don't lose a draft pick. You don't lose anything if you have to release him.
What about Hercules Mataafa?
Duh, you've been practicing that.
Yeah,
one.
I mean, you look at...
He wasn't on your call sheet here for the...
No, he will be in the preseason.
Hercules.
My voice really sounds like that in preseason. That's awesome. What is he a linebacker? Is he a defensive lineman? What's his deal?
He's a good football player.
Yeah. Seems like he has that high motor you like.
Yeah, he runs around and he makes plays and he gets to the quarterback.
Yeah.
So, you know, our coaches looked at him, and he was just we've got to find a home for him. And I think we're going to line him up at Sam linebacker right now or okay. Mike linebacker and then utilize some of his pass rush skills on third down. So that's the whole part of this process is once he gets here in a mini camp,
yeah.
We're going to do a lot of experimenting with these guys to see what they can and can't do physically,
yeah.
What they can and can't handle mentally. And then we'll continue to progress as we go through this.
A couple of quickies to close. Another guy with whom I was not real familiar into college free agency, but then did some deep diving on him yesterday, Cincinnati running back Mike Boone. This is a very talented individual. Any idea why he didn't get drafted?
Well, I'm not going to speak on why he did or didn't get drafted, but he's very similar to the Jacksonville State kid that we brought in, Rock. And both right. of those guys... we identified Kennedy, KP, our running backs coach, in, spent a lot of time with them, FaceTiming them, building that relationship up.
Yeah.
And we were able to land both those guys to come in and compete with Mac Brown right now for that third running back spot.
Right.
But the coaches did such an unbelievable job along with the scouts. But the coaches started this recruiting process maybe 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And as we identified guys as potential guys we may draft or sign as college free agents, they were on the phone with them. They were talking about what we're about. They were getting a feel for the kid and how he can learn and what his learnability is. Will he fit in the locker room that in the chemistry we have down there right now? And is he talented enough to come in and compete? So we specifically identify certain guys in that area that our coaches do a tremendous job, and it's almost like college recruiting. You got to build that relationship up.
Right.
So at the end of the draft, when they call, it's not the first time they're hearing from our head or our head coach or
yep.
from, you know, our coaches. They've already talked to them for the last 3 weeks, and that's made a difference in getting some of these guys in that we have been able to.
Thanks for the chat. Good luck with the Derby.
Thank you.
Rick Spielman, general manager of the Minnesota Vikings, back after this.